Okay, Daniel Gill, wonderful. That is from Soul Calling, Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami, comfort, comfort, my soul. All right, so as I said, it's the New Year of the Trees, and we're going to read something from Seeds and Sparks, Inspiration and Self-Expression Through the Cycles of Jewish Life by Abraham Aryeh Trugman. Insights into the Holiday of Tu B'Shvat, which is today. Tu B'Shvat, the 15th day in the month of Shvat, is first mentioned in the Mishnah, where it is listed as one of the four new years in the Jewish calendar, Rosh Hashanah. Specifically, it relates to the mitzvah of tithing produce. According to the Torah, before the fruits of our labors can be enjoyed, certain gifts have to be given and shared with the Kohanim, the priests, and the Levites, and the poor. Each year requires particular gifts, and since different fruits blossom and produce at varying times of the year, Tu B'Shvat marks the start of the new year for trees to determine the year to which the fruit belongs. Over the years, Tu B'Shvat has become the traditional day to show our appreciation and love of the land of Israel, in particular, and the beautiful natural world in general. It is an ancient custom to eat fruit on this day, especially the fruits of the land of Israel. According to tradition, it is on this day that the sap or life force begins to rise in the tree as it prepares to bring forth new leaves, buds, and fruit. In the 1500s, the city of Safad became a magnet for Torah scholars and Kabbalists. It was during this time that a ritual Seder of Tu B'Shvat was created. Modeled after the Seder of Pesach, it became a potent vehicle for understanding the holiness of the land of Israel and our deep connection to the land. This Seder, which was known until recently only to Kabbalists, has become very popular in our generation and is the inspirational basis of a wide range of Tu B'Shvat Seders formulated by Jews of all backgrounds. In modern times, this date has become a traditional day to plant trees in the land of Israel. In the diaspora, it is time to collect money for trees to be planted in Israel. With an increasing understanding of the importance of ecology and the environment, Tu B'Shvat also serves as the Jewish Earth Day. When looking at various sources in the Torah, Midrash, Talmud, and Maimonides, one is struck by how much is recorded as law in our tradition regarding protecting the land, regulating its use, preserving the earth and animal species from wanton destruction, and protecting people from the hazards of water, air, and noise pollution. Along with these laws is imparted an overall worldview of love and reverence for the earth in general, and the land of Israel in particular. This day can be used to deepen our knowledge of what the written and oral Torah reveal regarding these very vital and contemporary issues. Tu B'Shvat occurs on the night of a full moon. One month later on the full moon is Purim, Shushan Purim, and exactly one month later on the full moon is the holiday of Pesach. These holidays coming one after the other on three successive full moons symbolize both the very beginning of spring and the welling up of the forces of redemption. Coming out of Egypt and slavery to a state of freedom is intimately connected to the transition of nature from a state of hibernation and inaction to one of rebirth and rejuvenation. The sap rising in the tree on Tu B'Shvat represents the initial point of the process, climaxing in our personal and national redemption from the narrow confines of Egypt on Pesach. Who is the wise one? He who sees the birth. That's from the Talmud. The Hebrew word for birth, nolad, alludes to the sliver of the new moon. The wise one is he or she who sees in the initial appearance of a situation that which will ultimately transpire. Just as one cannot detect from the exterior the sap rising from the roots to the trunk of a tree, so too for the individual, the arousal of new spiritual energy on Tu B'Shvat begins from the deepest point of pure potential in the soul and slowly rises up, turn the page here, till fully revealed as new spiritual energy, ready for actualization on Pesach. In this light, I can reveal a personal monumental event that occurred on this day. My wife Rachel and I met in 1975 at a Tu B'Shvat Seder in Jerusalem. I proposed on Pesach, and we were married 2 months later, right after Shavuot, the holiday that marks the receiving of the Torah. The culmination of leaving Egypt on Pesach. This is truly a case of a Torah realization actualizing itself in reality, which I only came to understand many years later. From the above explanation, we can understand an answer to the age-old question as to why the reading of the weekly portion of the Torah relating to the Exodus from Egypt is not read in the springtime at the time of Pesach, as might be expected, but rather in January or February, depending on the year. On closer inspection, though, we see that the portion in which Israel crosses the sea and the pursuing Egyptians are drowned, the culminating act of the liberation from Egypt always comes out the week of Tu B'Shvat. This alludes to the essential connection between these two holidays. Another association between the three successive full moon holidays is wine. Central to the Tu B'Shvat Seder is drinking 4 cups of wine or grape juice. We begin the Seder with white wine, representing winter, hibernation, and exile, and add increasing amounts of red wine each succeeding cup until spring. Rebirth and redemption are represented by red wine. On Purim, of course, we drink wine, and lots of it, to celebrate our deliverance from the evil designs of Haman, and then culminate the process with the 4 cups of wine on Pesach, when we celebrate our redemption from Egypt. The Talmud teaches, wine goes in and the secret comes out, Eruvin. In a certain sense, we can relate to the wine of these three holidays as the sap of new spiritual energy rising from the most hidden secret levels of our souls until its full potential is revealed as we truly feel that we are coming out of our own Egypt, our own narrow psychological and spiritual straits. We are taught that there are 70 faces to the Torah, Zohar. The word for wine in Hebrew, yayin, equals 70, as does the word sod, secret. The statement wine goes in and the secret comes out can be understood to mean that the proper consumption of wine with the right spiritual intentions draws forth from within us new and inspirational insights into the 70 faces of Torah, the inner secret dimensions of the Torah. The comparisons we have been making between the process of personal renewal, the rebirth of nature, and new insights of Torah is explained beautifully by Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg, who points out that both man and the Torah are compared to a tree. The Torah in Deuteronomy compares a man to the tree of the field. And in our prayers, when we return the Torah to the ark, we refer to the Torah as a tree of life for all those who grasp onto it. Proverbs. He continues by explaining that just as a tree is comprised of roots, trunk, branches, and fruit, so too do man and Torah conceptually have these components. The roots of man, here we refer to Israel as the archetypal man, as taught by our sages, refers to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and our mothers, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. They rooted us as a people deeply in the land of Israel. The trunk corresponds to the full people, deeply in the land of Israel. The trunk corresponds to the full body of all the archetypal souls of Israel who left Egypt, received the Torah, and entered the land of Israel. The branches represent the tribes and the individual tribe members as they spread out from each other in the land, and even more so during the diaspora. The fruits are the mitzvot and good deeds performed by each Jew. The roots of the Torah are the inner, hidden secrets of the Torah, concealed below the surface. The trunk of the Torah relates to the main body of written and oral Torah as revealed at Sinai, while the branches relate to the different and diverse methods and schools of interpretation, along with each individual's unique perspective of Torah. The fruits are new insights, sweet and nourishing, which are revealed to those who devote themselves to the study of Torah. Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach, in reference to the hidden potential and holiness of each Jew, used to say, "What do we know? What do we know?" He once taught that the headquarters of this concept is Tu B'Shvat, where a tree the day after Tu B'Shvat looks just like it did the day before. We don't see anything perceptibly different. Likewise, what do we know of what's moving deep within the heart and mind of an individual, unrevealed to our critical eyes? We should all be blessed to go deep within ourselves on Tu B'Shvat and rediscover all our potential for holiness, and let it flow once again. May we hold on to our Torah, which is truly a tree of life, and recognize our deep roots in the Holy Land and our eternal connection to God and to the Jewish people. He does such a beautiful job. I've read it before, but it was as if I had never seen it before. So much I'm seeing for the first time. So, let's see. We're going to go to another selection here. I think, yes, this one. Okay, so I want to continue on with a little bit more from this Seeds and Spark by Avraham Aryeh Trugman. This is a poem, again, on the theme of Tu B'Shvat, which is today. It's called Life Force. Deep down inside, something is moving, imperceptible to the naked eye, a pulse beating, tingling the soles of my feet, my hands itchy, sensing a certain smell of spring drifting through the air. Clouds carry hidden messages, bearing good news. Places to go, mountains to climb, fresh water streams and flowers in full bloom. Trees stand anxious, waiting, buds ready to burst, ready to dance, to the sound of an early bird calling her mate. Second here. Let me turn the page. Deep down inside, thirsty roots stretch their imagination, and the earth gives birth to dreams renewed of life's desire and secret rivers waiting to run their course. On this day, a silent rhythm, which only the soul of the earth can measure or know, begins softly, singing harmony with the tree of life, calling from a garden so long ago concealed for the sap of rebirth to once again flow. Nice.
Slow and steady, life's not a race. Every season leaves its own trace. Love and live at your own perfect pace. Don't forget, you can sing your own song. Time to step to the side. Breath is precious, it's fuel for your ride. Feel the warmth as it fills you inside. Don't forget, you can sing your own song. Suggest what they think is right, wrong, or best. In the end, live a life with no regrets. Don't forget, you can sing your own song. Forget, you can sing, it is best, you must sing. Don't forget, you can sing your own song.
What a nice positive idea. Craig Taubman, your own song from his CD Here and There. So I wanted to share a little bit more about the spiritual aspect. Well, just different things about, maybe we'll look at this Tu B'Shvat and Healing, Nutrition from Shemayim, from Heaven, by Daniel Wasserman. So he's mentioning places where these two ideas come together. The first quote is from Maimonides from the Mishnah Torah, chapter 4, law 1. A healthy and complete body is of the ways of God, for it is impossible to understand or know anything regarding the knowledge of the Creator when a person is sick. Boy, isn't that the truth. Therefore, a person must distance himself from anything that destroys the body and conduct himself towards things that recuperate and strengthen it. The second source from the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, the four New Year's literally heads of the year are: 1. On the first of Nisan, the new year for the kings and for festivals. 2. On the first of Elul, the new year for the tithing of animals. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon say in the first of Tishrei. 3. On the first of Tishrei, the new year for years, for the sabbatical years and for the jubilee years and for the planting and for the vegetables. And 4. On the first of Shavuot, the new year for the trees. These are the words of the house of Shammai. The house of Hillel says on the 15th thereof. So those are the four different new years that are mentioned. Tractate Berachot is the third source, 48. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said, it was taught concerning the type of tree from which Adam the first man ate. Rabbi Meir says, it was a grapevine, for nothing brings as much wailing as wine does, as it is stated. And he, Noach, drank from the wine and became drunk. Rabbi Nechemiah says, it was a fig tree, for it stands to reason that although the very thing which caused their downfall was then used to set them right, as it is stated, and they sewed together fig leaves and girded themselves. Rabbi Judah says, it was actually a wheat stalk. For a child does not know how to call out to his father and mother until he has tasted grain. This is from the Chabad.org site. Fascinating. The next talks about grapes. Health benefits of wine and alcohol, from neuroprotection to heart health. It says light, moderate wine consumers have lower risk of age-dependent cognitive decline and dementia, including Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease. Resveratrol induces apoptosis and inhibits angiogenesis in human breast cancer xenografts in vivo. Resveratrol, polyphenol found in grapes and wine, is considered a potential cancer chemo-preventive agent in breast cancers. They talk about wheat. The thermodynamically neutral food is whole wheat bread. However, refined flour delays digestion. Figs, dried fruits, excellent in vitro and in vivo antioxidants. Figs and dried plums have highest concentration of polyphenols among the dried fruits and dates among the fresh fruits. Deuteronomy, it says, a land of wheat and barley and grapevines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and date honey. These are the seven species that are mentioned about the land of Israel. Pomegranates. Anti-cancer activities of pomegranate extracts and genistein in human breast cancer cells. Pomegranate extracts inhibit the growth of breast cancer cells through induction of apoptosis. Interesting. And there's more. The effects of pomegranate juice consumption on blood pressure and cardiovascular health. Pomegranate juice consumption may reduce systolic blood pressure, inhibit serum ACE activity, and is convincingly a heart-healthy fruit. Pomegranate juice consumption inhibits serum angiotensin, converting enzyme activity, and reduces systolic blood pressure. Fabulous. Cell cycle. Prostate cancer prevention through pomegranate fruit. The outcome of this study could have a direct practical implication and translational relevance to prostate cancer patients, because it suggests that pomegranate consumption may retard prostate cancer progression, which may prolong the survival and quality of life of the patient. Dates. The fruit of the date palm, its possible use as the best food for the future. Potassium can be found at a concentration as high as 0.9% in the flesh. Other minerals found in various proportions include boron, calcium, cobalt, copper, fluorine, iron, magnesium, manganese, potassium, phosphorus, sodium, and zinc. Selenium, another element believed to help prevent cancer and important in immune function, is also found in dates. Terrific. Olives. Olive oil intake is inversely related to cancer prevalence. It was found that compared with the highest category of olive oil consumption was associated with lower odds of having any type of cancer. Of course, the Mediterranean diet, we know that they have less cancer. Olive oil and cognition results from the three-city study. Participants with moderate or intensive use of olive oil compared to those who never used olive oil showed lower odds of cognitive deficit for verbal fluency and visual memory. Protective effect of monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fatty acids on the development of cardiovascular disease. Likewise, an enriched monounsaturated fatty acid prevents LDL oxidative modifications more than an enriched polyunsaturated diet. M3 fatty acid strongly inhibits platelet aggression and activate thrombolic processes. Apple. From the Song of Songs, beneath the apple tree I arouse your love. The carob, an antioxidant activity of polyphenols in carob pods. Considering most carob pods are discarded and not effectively utilized at present, these results suggest that carob pods could be utilized as a functional food or food ingredient. Well, there's a wonderful story of one of our great sages surviving in a cave. And the only thing that he had was carob. And there was a river, a stream that went through. So he had the carob pods and the water from the stream. Enrichment of an Israeli ethnic food with fibers and their effects on a glycemic and insulinemic responses in subjects with non-insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus. The effects of various sources of dietary fiber on the high glycemic index of an Israeli ethnic food, melawach, were investigated in subjects with non-insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus. Locust bean gum significantly decreased the glucose response to and glycemic index of melawach in these diabetic subjects. Interesting. Ethics of the Fathers. It's a quote. He, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, used to say, "Anyone whose wisdom exceeds his good deeds, to what is he likened? To a tree whose branches are numerous, but whose roots are few. Then the wind comes and uproots it and turns it upside down. But one whose good deeds exceed his wisdom, to what is he likened? To a tree whose branches are few, but whose roots are numerous. Even if all the winds in the world were to come and blow against it, they could not budge it from its place. As it is said, and he shall be like a tree planted by waters toward the stream, spreading its roots. And it shall not notice the heat's arrival, and its foliage shall be fresh. In the year of drought it shall not worry, nor shall it cease from yielding fruit." From Jeremiah. Well, that's lovely. That's all from Daniel Wasserman. Okay. I think we're going to go to... Oh, they're both on one. Oh, that's lovely. I think we're going to go to this one. We'll soon see. Oh, that was lovely. This was Bruce Adolph, Ladino Songs of Love and Suffering, and we listened to the introduction, the first selection of that, Noches, Noches. Lucy Shelton is a soprano, Elliot Fisk on guitar, and David Jolly on French horn. This is from the Milken Archive. WMFO Medford, you're listening to The Voicemobile, and I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. And let's play some music from Shama from her Journey CD. It's been a while since I've played from this. How about do one of her father's Nigunim from Shlomo Karlbach, Return Again.
Return again, return to the land of your soul. Return again, return again, return to the land of your soul. Return to who you are, return to what you to where you are born and reborn again. Return to who you are, return to what you are, return to where you are born and reborn again. Reborn again. Return.
You
So that's very lovely, Neshama Karlbach. So there has been a whole to-do about my Rebbe, Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach, about whether or not people should still be singing his melodies, because there are a number of people who, you know, this Me Too movement have said that he was inappropriate with them. Now, I haven't heard anybody say that he actually raped anybody, but there have been people who have come forward, women have come forward and said that he kissed them when they didn't want to be kissed, or he groped them or whatever. Anyhow, it never happened to me. He was probably the most important influence, other than my family, on my life, and he has created melodies that are used all over the world. And his daughter, who has her career thanks to him, and she even has been sort of, because of the generation that she's from, kind of felt like she had, well, I don't know, she wrote this sort of an apology, you know, saying she's very conflicted about, you know, what to think about her father. So, you know, I don't think it's up to us to judge. Now, were I somebody that felt that it happened to me, maybe I'd feel differently. I can't say. But all I can tell you is that the teachings and the inspiration into my tradition that I learned from Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach are what is important to me. And as for other people, they have to do what they think. But to lose all of the melodies and the teachings would be a crime. And besides, you know, it's not for us to judge, I don't think. All right, so there it is. And there's a wonderful thing from the Still Small Voice, the teachings of Sarah Yehudit Schneider. I have to thank Amy for sending this link to me. She's got something called All the Creatures Pray for a Fruitful Harvest. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to share a bit of it. Context of about trees connecting to prayer. The Midrash plays on this web of associations and concludes that the Torah employs the word siach to teach that these stately timbers do in fact have a social life, that they converse with each other, with each and with the world around them. This is certainly a scientific fact recently proven by forest researchers. They have shown that the underground tangle of roots and fungal threads function like a worldwide web that weaves the forest into a single organism. Information about each plant's well-being circulates through the system and draws support in the form of chemical nutrients offered by the haves and borrowed by the have-nots. It's a you-scratch-my-back-I'll-scratch-yours kind of world beneath the forest floor, with both competition and cooperation in full swing. And so our Midrash describes how the trees work together and plot together to serve the creatures of the world. Every food chain, with the rarest of exceptions, depends upon the plant kingdom. If our photosynthesizing friends would cease, the food supply would collapse and life on this planet would end in starvation. And so, says our Midrash, the main focus of creature talk and prayer is that the earth should yield its produce, a multitude of fruits and growing things, so that there's plenty of food to go around. And really, this is Hashem's prayer too. For the Talmud informs us that one of Hashem's most difficult tasks, so to speak, one out of two, is to provide each creature with its rations. We pray with our mouths and we pray with our feet, so to speak. Our investments of time, money, and energy express our desire for certain things, which is precisely what's conveyed by our prayer requests. The fact that man, beast, and plant alike spend much of their days gathering provisions, directly or indirectly, amounts to one giant planetary prayer for bountiful earth. Yet the Midrash says that Israel prays for that and more. As members of the world community, we pray for a bountiful earth. Yet as members of Knesset Yisrael, we pray with mouths and feet for the temple, which, say our commentators, is the mystical meaning behind the two words that prompted our Midrash, Siach, Tree Prayer Meditation, and Sadeh Field. The temple built from the cedars of Lebanon in the field of Mount Moriah is the place where heaven touches earth, making it the most powerful spot for prayer on the planet. It is the umbilicus that connects our physical world with the infinite light. However one conceives of the temple, whether as something local or diffuse, its whole point and power is to pull the world into line with God's harmonious vision for it. When the temple returns, the channels of bounty will open full throttle. The Torah calls Adam an Eitz Chadash, a tree of the field. Our Midrash suggests that Adam, meaning the human kingdom, is a very special tree, a praying tree, a Siach HaSadeh, whose prayers are absolutely potent and necessary for a bountiful harvest. Yet it takes one to know one. It takes a Siach HaDash, Adam, to know and yearn for the collective Siach HaSadeh, the Holy Temple, and the paradigm shift of bounty that it will bring. As the Kohen Gadol would pray after completing his temple service at the close of the Yom Kippur, may it be your will, Hashem, regarding this coming year, that if it must be hot, let it be rainy, and let the trees of the field bring forth their bounty. And guided by our Midrash, let us add a plea that the temple, with all the bounty that it brings, be revived this year. Beautiful. From Sarah Yehudit Schneider. All right, we have time for a little bit more music here.
Alle hat in der weil sie erobt ihre Kinder. Sie ist mit ihm geboren, mit uns das alte Wunder. Mit Blut, ich weiß, wo in unserer alte Heimat sind wir. Hey, sie ist, sie ist, sei beschert, hingegeben, du herrlich, täglich. Du schaffst mein Ei im Leben, sei freilich, Schwestern, Brüder, wir wollen bald um sie euch wieder. Wir wollen bald, oh, bitte.
Mm-hmm.